Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the millstone of free speech. We have a millstone around our neck. We have to do this. There's no getting around it. So we're going to speak freely. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. The operator is standing by. It's Monday. It's the first day of the week. We have Mark Collett with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I was going to say it's great to be here, but, I mean, it's good to be on the show. But I'm sat in my computer room. It's so hot. If you can hear my computer fan, I apologise. But it's just the warmest day here, and it's so close. And maybe that's it's very still as well. And I think that's probably like a metaphor for the situation in world politics at the moment, because we seem to be spiralling, didn't we, towards a war. The winds of war were blowing, but I still feel there's a definite heat there in the Middle East, but there's definitely a sort of a toxic, close atmosphere, but things seem to have calmed down. It's very calm now, isn't it? It's still hot, but it's very calm. That's how I would say the political situation is. And if you'd have asked me a couple of weeks ago, would I have thought there was going to be drastic escalation? I would have said yes. And I obviously wasn't a huge fan of Trump and his intervention. But Trump seems to have... I'm not going to say he's done a 180 and he's now pro-Iranian or anything. But Trump does seem, to his credit, to have cooled things down, for everything to have, calmed down. We seem to be sort of in the doldrums. He doesn't seem to be wanting further involvement in the conflict. He even said he would be happy for Iran to start trading oil if things calm down and agreement could be made, and obviously that would be in their benefit. But interestingly, he also seems to have done something which has probably angered the Israelis to quite a large degree, which is obviously his little outburst, his four-letter outburst on TV, where he swore and he said that Israel were acting in a way that he didn't approve of and he was tired of it. And I would say, out of this, and this is a probably a pretty basic take initially, that Israel has lost a lot of public face and there's a lot of people angry with Israel, and Israel is certainly not the darling of the world anymore, or the West, as they've really sort of fallen in people's estimation. But interestingly, they don't just seem to have fallen in people's estimation, but I would say that something else has happened, which is quite sort of unique and something that people would have probably not expected. And that is, Israel have come out of this looking quite militarily weak. Iran has managed to strike them, has managed to hurt them, and Israel have not been able to deal with Iran without calling on American intervention. I would say not only has Iran come out of this looking... Israel have come out of this looking like the bad guys in terms of, you know, general PR, because they started all this. There more political assassinations, more strikes on a sovereign nation, but they haven't come out of this looking strong militarily. Now, I know that some people will say, "Oh, it's all theatre, mate. This is all part of the grand plan. This is what Israel does." Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I would say Israel seems to be damaged on almost all fronts, and seeing Trump apparently pulling back from this, trying to call for calm, and although he was willing to initiate these strikes, he doesn't seem willing to go any further, which I find quite interesting. At the moment, Trump does not seem to be willing to take this conflict any further. And he and the powers that be in America seem to be, thankfully, shying away from the idea of a full-on conflict with Iran. And so far, he hasn't repeated any further strikes, which I also think is a good thing. I'm hopeful that things will remain calm, and I have been very critical over Trump over this. But I've got to say, Trump hasn't been as bullish for all-out military action as some people feared. Unless I'm misreading this and you think he has, and obviously I'm happy to chat about it, you know, and have a bit of a back and forth, because that's what we're here for. But I've assessing this, he certainly doesn't seem to have been as war hawkish as people thought he might be when he authorized those first strikes. And he certainly hasn't been as bad as, say, sort of the Clintons, the Bushes, or probably even Biden, to be fair. He seems to have been, you know, far more reserved. You know, many of us worried that these first strikes would have unfortunately led to either escalation or a major series of strikes, which would have gone on maybe for weeks, maybe months, been continuous bombardment, pushing for a regime change. But we just haven't seen that. And I don't want to be too quick to speak and say this seems quite refreshing, then we wake up tomorrow and we're at war. But I am left with some glimmers of hope from all of this. I don't know how you feel.
Well, I heard recently that John Bolton, who is a horrible person, he's the guy who looks like a walrus, got the giant white mustache. He was Trump's national security advisor. He had been, I guess, George W. Bush's ambassador to the UN for a while. Was he talking about Trump's decision in his first term to do some sort of strike on Syria? I think that's what it was. But it was something. And he quotes Trump as saying, I've got to choose between my pride and my legacy, which seemed to indicate he knew that striking Syria was the wrong thing to do, but he was maneuvered into this situation where he would lose his tough guy pride if he didn't go along with the program. And somebody brought that up on one of these shows in the past few days. And, you know, if that's the case, Trump, one of the things we don't know, there's a lot of things we don't know. We don't know exactly how damaged the Iran nuclear program is. And it may well not be very damaged. And we may well hear a lot of pro-Israel people say, look, it's not damaged enough. We have to go and we have to bomb again. We've got to do all this stuff because it wasn't damaged. There are a lot of people who were against what Trump was doing who are also saying, well, look, it wasn't damaged. We're on a fool's errand. We can't shut down their program. It's not worth shutting down the program. It's not worth risking World War III over this. That's also... So you're having a lot of people who are against military action pointing out that it hasn't been damaged. What Trump seems to want people to think is that he took decisive action and it's been obliterated, problem solved, let's move on to the next thing. That seems to be what Trump wants. But, one of the other questions is, to what extent did Trump plan all this out, or was he in on a long-term plan? The Israelis, Netanyahu has been the prime minister of Israel off and on since the 1990s. And so, and of course, even before he was prime minister, he was angling for having the United States go to war against Iran on behalf of Israel. But as for Netanyahu and the Israelis, I mean, this was there was a lot of planning of this. It's been going on for a long, long time, a lot of planning. But for Trump, you know, at what point was he brought into this? And it wasn't always clear. On the day that Israel first bombed Iran, on June 13th, people in the administration were saying that this was Israel acting unilaterally. Then when it seemed like, Iran was, Iran initially, those first 8 hours or so, 12 hours, they had lost several of their top military commanders had been assassinated, and their air defense system was down, and it looked like they were back on their heels, and Trump jumped in and said, I knew everything. I know everything that's going on. Nothing happens that I don't know what's going on. And he seemed to be taking some sort of credit for it. And then it wasn't going
so... Can I just stop you there, Patrick?
Yeah.
Can I just stop you there? It's just a quick one, and I don't want to be this guy who's storming in and taking your credit while you're talking. But Trump did say that. Now, I had a lot of people messaging me saying, ah, ha, ha, this proves it. Trump was involved all along. I thought at the time, well, maybe he was. Maybe Trump was involved all along, and maybe it was a big play. Maybe he never wanted peace. Maybe he was working behind the scenes as some kind of... double agent, talking to the Iranians, offering peace while secretly negotiating for war with the Israelis. But part of me wonders whether Trump was acting in good faith and the Israelis double-crossed him, and then he claimed, he's like, I knew, of course I knew, because he didn't want to look a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to comment on that, because I do respect your opinion. You have a lot more insight into American politics than me, and some of your takes on American politics have been truly sort of revolutionary and eye-opening. So I don't know what you think about this, because sometimes people say things because they genuinely were in and did know and were part of the plan. And sometimes people say things because they want to look as if they knew and were part of the plan when they weren't.
Yeah, and so people are wondering about this. And it's hard to know, because when I've gone to so many of Trump's rallies, and one of the things that's common at Trump's rally is he's talking about his first term in office and how great everything was and how there were no immigrants coming over the border. He had that completely solved, and the economy was great, and everything was great. And so, you know, one of the things Trump does is, regardless of reality, he's gonna say everything was great and take credit for it, regardless of reality. Another thing is, because he's always winning. Another thing is, even when he gets pushed into doing the exact opposite of what his policy was, he'll pretend it was his policy and how great it was. And a good example of that is in 2016, he campaigned on improving relations with Russia. And then when he was elected, immediately they pulled this Russiagate stuff. Russia hacked the election, Trump's Putin's puppet. Excuse me. And so then Trump was cornered into supplying weapons to Ukraine and increasing sanctions on Russia. So you wound up with Trump bragging about how nobody had been tougher on Putin than Trump. But that's not what he was elected to do. So the thing is, he's got this relationship with reality where reality is what he wants it to be, and B, he's always winning. Everybody fears him, everybody respects him, and he's always winning. So if the situation was that he didn't know that Israel was going to do this, and they kind of double crossed him because he was busy having negotiations with Iran, and then Israel just says, well, we're going to attack anyway, and they attack anyway. He would say, and if it looked like it was successful, the attack, he would say, yeah, I was in on it all along. He would say that. Honestly, I don't know whether to what extent For instance, the negotiations with Iran were theater, and that he was coordinating with Netanyahu to lull the Iranians into a false sense of security. It's possible, but it's possible that he was legitimately engaging in talks with Iran, and the Israelis just said, okay, while the Iranians have their guard down, because they're negotiating with Trump, we'll strike them now, and you know, and then just stick Trump with a fait accompli, because that's very much the Israeli style. The Israeli style isn't to ask for permission. The Israeli style is to go ahead and do whatever they want, and then maybe ask for forgiveness. But they don't. My guess is probably Trump wasn't very involved in planning this. Maybe some people in his administration were. Maybe the CIA director, Ratcliffe, who is basically a rat who's dragging us off a cliff. Maybe he knew. Maybe Trump is easily manipulated. That's my guess, but I say that with a low level of certainty. I don't know if Trump knew and was really working with Bibi Netanyahu as a team. But one thing I will say is that Trump has come out. What Trump is saying, he's bragged about how close he worked with Netanyahu. He had that right after the Americans bombed Iran, he had this little announcement from the White House where he said, God bless Israel. God bless Israel in the middle of its genocide? I mean, it's really, really disgusting. And so even if he's, and I'm not saying he's playing 3D chess or anything like that, but even if he's has some, a certain amount of well-meaningness, even if he's basically kind of well-meaning, it's just disgusting to have him say, God bless Israel, when, you know, a big hunk of his base thinks Israel can do no wrong. Why push that? So that's my thought on it. So what do you think, Mark?
Well, I find White fascinating, because I feel there's certain people who want to say, look, Trump was pushed and elected as part of a grand, you know, Israeli plan. They wanted Trump to be in because he was going to be pro-Israel and was the most pro-Israel candidate. Now, I'm not completely convinced by that. I think that the system has many objectives. It's not just what's best for Israel. That's simply not the sole objective of the system. The system has multiple objectives at any one time. And Trump coming in, well, he might on paper appear to be the most pro-Israel, but was he? Because Kamala Harris, married to a Jewish man, Biden had always been extremely pro-Israel. Would the Democrats have been any more anti-Israel? Probably not. Would the Democrats have been more pro-war in Ukraine? Absolutely yes. Would they have been more pro-woke, pro-LGBT, pro-immigration, pro-white replacement? Well, yes, 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 and yes. So the idea that the system was like, well, look, let's give up on immigration, white replacement, woke policies, LGBT, let's just hand the war to the Russians in the Ukraine.
Because I wanna be. Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full one-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion-activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Are you really prepared? There's one critical piece most people forget. When disaster strikes, the most powerful survival tool isn't in your hands, it's in your head. But here's the hard truth. Knowledge disappears fast when the grid goes down. That's why we created the Preparedness Tablet, the first and only off-grid digital library designed specifically for survival situations. We've done the work for you. This rugged, portable tablet comes preloaded with a massive library of practical knowledge, food preservation and storage, emergency medical care, off-grid living and homesteading, security, defense, and more. It's indexed, searchable, organized, and powered by a free solar charger, so you'll never be without it. It also comes with a protective hard case, and you can upgrade it with supplemental survival files and EMP protection. Whether it's a power outage, social unrest, or a full-blown crisis, this tablet gives you instant access to skills that save lives. From treating wounds to growing food, even saving cherished family documents and photos, this preparedness tablet is your silent partner when things go sideways. You can't know it all, but you can carry it with you. Preloaded with survival knowledge, runs 100% off-grid, backup and store your own files, lightweight, portable, and solar-powered. Join thousands of Americans closing the last gap in the emergency prep. Visit our website now and get peace of mind in the palm of your hand. The preparedness tablet also makes a thoughtful and potentially life-saving gift. Invest in yourself, protect your family. Visit www.comcoms.link. That's www.comcoms.link. Be ready, be smart, be the one who plans ahead. We also offer custom portable radios that come pre-configured for your local area. Included with these versatile radios is free basic training to get you up to speed quickly on how to use your radio. Visit our website today and learn all about our unique products. Comcoms.link. comcoms.link.
Let's give up on immigration, white replacement, woke policies, LGBT. Let's just hand the war to the Russians in the Ukraine. But that's on the proviso that Trump will, you know, blow up a few nuclear sites. I'm not really sure that that's how it works. So, and I think there's more complex movements afoot, and lots of people want a lot of different things when it comes to a new government. And I'm, as I said, I'm still completely unconvinced that Trump will be more philo-Semitic than Kamala Harris or Joe Biden. I think that Trump is obviously someone whose daughter has married a Jewish man and he has Jewish grandchildren. But as I said, Kamala Harris is actually married to a Jewish man herself. So, you know, both have these very, very powerful Jewish influences on their lives. Now, Trump is someone that we know is full of bluster. He likes to be the man who's center of attention. He doesn't like anyone else getting the attention. I believe that's how he fell out with Elon Musk. I believe that the fallout with Elon Musk was over who was going to get the most attention. Both always want to be at the center, they want to have the limelight, and both can't be told at any time in any way that their ideas aren't correct. So when Trump wanted to spend lots of money and Musk didn't want to spend lots of money, you know, they were bound to fall out. These are people who have personality types that most normal people wouldn't understand. Now, to be successful, you probably have to have that personality type. To get to that point in life where you have that much power and money, you probably have to have that personality type. But having that much power and that much money probably accentuates the traits that come with that personality type. So you have to be bullish, hot-headed, convinced you're right to get somewhere. But the further you get, the more bullish you become, the more convinced you are that you're right, and the more convinced you are that you can do no wrong and that you are essentially the Messiah. And I think to a degree, both of them have had a Messiah complex, which is a very interesting position, and that's why they clashed. Now, Trump is not the man in control of Israel. I'm 100% convinced when I say this. America does not control Israel. Israel controls America. But Trump, deep down, won't like that. Trump will, at best, want the situation to be a partnership. Sorry, at worst, he'll want the situation to be a partnership. But at best, he'll want to be in control. So at worst, he'll be like, well, we're partners. These are our allies, and we stand shoulder to shoulder. And secretly be thinking, well, you know, you should at least be standing one shoulder back from me, because I'm Donald Trump, because that's how he thinks. But I think here, he'll be looking at this saying, well, Israel have done things that I disagree with. They've gone behind my back. What's the best way to save face? Well, the best way for him to save face isn't going onto social media and saying, the Israelis have screwed me. They deceived me. They played me for the chump. I am now not Donald Trump. I'm Donald Chump. I've been made to look an idiot. They backed down on everything they said. They double-crossed me. I told them to do X. They did Y. He wouldn't say that. And he wouldn't say that because it would hurt his ego, which leaves us with two options on the table. Was he really part of a grand scheme, in on it from the beginning? Or was he somebody that was pulled along for the ride, thought he had control, thought he was the peacemaker, thought he was the big man at the table moving the chess pieces, only to find out that he wasn't the man moving the chess pieces? He was a chess piece being moved by the Israeli establishment, at which point he had no option but to save face by claiming to be in on it all along. He was in on the joke. He, you know, it's like that. It's like the kid who, you know, is the butt of the joke. Ah, I'm laughing with you because I knew this was going to happen all along. I was secretly in on it. Ha, 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 we're all laughing. You're not laughing at me because I'm laughing too. That kind of mentality. It could be either. But I am not 100% convinced that Trump was the most philo-Semitic candidate. And I'm not 100% convinced that the entire establishment let Trump win or even forced his win through as part of some grand scheme to help Israel, because I simply don't think that's quite how politics works. And as most Jews, I think it was 75% of Jews in the US voted for the Democrats, if you actually look at the Jewish power structure in America, it was overwhelmingly anti-Trump, anti what he stood for, but these people are, for the most part, still pro-Israel. So I think there's a lot of things on the table there. And I don't want to be the guy giving a definitive answer, because I don't, in this case, I don't have a definitive answer. I think there's lots of threads here. And obviously, we can't see where all those threads, you know, lead, because we don't have all the information. But I don't think this is as simple as some grand scheme being played out between Trump, the GOP, the Americans.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Because we don't have all the information. But I don't think this is as simple as some grand scheme being played out between Trump, the GOP, the American establishment, and Israel, all of which are in lockstep working together to a grand, you know, master plan on the 5D chessboard. I simply don't think that's the case. I think that in many cases what you might see is an exasperated Trump claiming to be on top of things when really he's out of his depth, outmaneuvered, and being played for an absolute fool by an Israeli establishment that don't give a damn about him and just want their endless wars at whatever cost, by whatever means necessary.
Yeah, and I think you can say that the Jewish power structure is not a monolith without letting them off the hook and without, you know, saying that, well, just because the Jewish power structure is not a monolith, that they're not responsible for things that are going on, or that there's not a Jewish agenda. This is very much a Jewish agenda. You're talking about mass immigration, for instance. That there's very much a broad consensus within the Jewish power structure on mass immigration, on replacing white people as the majority and even as a as the significant plurality. That this is, and even if there are elements of it, like Steven Steinlight, who's been warning for decades that we're going too fast on immigration, there are elements in the Jewish power structure, not very many, but there are those that think that immigration's going too fast and there could be a backlash. Regarding Israel, yeah, the Jewish power structure supports Israel, but there are lots of people in the United States, a lot of Jews in the United States, who think that that the Israeli government thinks too much about Israeli interests and not enough about broader Jewish interests. That the Jewish power structure is largely outside of Israel. They're ensconced in the United States in particular, but they're ensconced in many European countries, in Australia and Canada. And so there's this diaspora of Jewish, the diaspora of Jews, probably majority of Jews are outside of Israel. And they're very, very powerful, and they have interests that don't always coincide with Israel. And you know, one of the things about Israel is the Jewish state. Everybody knows that Israel is Jews. Whereas so much of the power of the diaspora is predilected on people not understanding that these are Jews. It's amazing that even some people who seem to be very obvious Jews, like, say, Mark Levine, the broadcaster, a lot of people might not even know he's Jewish. And when Israel does things, it brings attention to Jewish power. And a lot of Jewish power in the United States is predilected on people not knowing that Jews are behind things. Very few people in the United States know that mass immigration is a Jewish agenda. And so bringing too much attention to Jewish power isn't good for the diaspora Jews. So you can have conflict, you can have disagreements within the Jewish power structure. That doesn't mean that it's not basically cohesive. They tend to come to consensuses on major issues, and even if not everybody is in lockstep with each other, they are effective in achieving their objectives. So, regarding whether the Jews put Trump in because they wanted to pivot to Iran or whatever, Trump won an election. He won. It was a close election, and the assistance he got from Miriam Adelson and Bill Ackerman and some other big money Jews, it may have been decisive. But that's not to say that suddenly the Jewish power structure decided we're going to go for Trump and not for Harris, because the bulk of not just Jewish voters, but the bulk of Jewish money was still with Harris. Would she have been worse? Probably. Maybe not. I mean, maybe not. Who knows? A lot of things are unpredictable. You can get your candidate into office and things don't always work out for you. I will say that I think Putin was put into office by Berezovsky, the Jewish oligarch, and it didn't work out so well for the Jewish oligarchy in the end. So you never know what you never know. You got to be careful what you ask for. But yeah, that's my feeling on it. I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, the thing is, as I said, there's a lot of it's kind of like a sort of, as I said, series of threads that head into a box and come out the other side. So you know what goes in, you know what comes out, but you don't know exactly what's happening in the box. You don't know exactly how those threads are interacting and why they come out the way they do. But I would say that the Jewish power structure isn't simply centered around which president is going to be the most hawkish when it comes to fighting wars for Israel. In fact, quite the opposite. I think there are many Jews who are part of the Jewish power structure in America who are far more concerned with things like pushing the woke agenda, pushing feminism, pushing abortions, pushing miscegenation. How many Jews work in advertising and spend all of their time, or almost all of their time, pushing something like mixed-race couples in Christmas adverts? You know, yeah. I talk about that every year, but it's a big issue. And those people seem to, by and large, rage against Trump. And he seems to have, in many ways, weakened lots of aspects of Jewish power. He seems to have rolled back a lot of the DEI. He seems to have rolled back things like, you know, special celebratory days for gays. He's even rolled things back, which means, you know, Holocaust Memorial Day doesn't get celebrated as it was. You know, he said, you know, you celebrate two things. You celebrate Independence Day and you celebrate Christmas. That's it. You know, that's it under Trump. And got to hand it to him. Those are good changes, changes that I would certainly institute. And the Jewish power structure can't be happy about that. Yeah, the Jewish power structure have managed to get another American president to authorize a bombing raid on a Middle Eastern country. But I would say that that's very much the thin end of the wedge. Because if I was a betting man, which I'm not, but if I was a betting man, I would absolutely say that if Israel had their way, American aircraft carriers, American troop carriers, American soldiers would now all be headed to the Middle East, and they would be authorizing a full-on US invasion of Iran. But they haven't got that. And without a full-on US invasion of Iran, and without a complete US-backed sort of military coup, I don't think Israel are going to get what they want with Iran. I don't think Israel are going to get the regime change. I think it's a stalemate. And it's made Israel look extremely impotent because they can't sort this problem out themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've lost the air of invincibility. Iran is well, the Iranian leadership is claiming victory. And even though they were probably a lot more Iranians who died in this exchange, and there may have been more destruction to Iranian infrastructure or whatever than there was to Israel. Iran's a much, much larger country and is able to withstand much more damage. Israel is very vulnerable this way. It's small. It's got one big metropolitan area, and the Iranians were able to hit it. And it would have been way worse for Israel if Iranian missiles had just been a little bit more accurate. You know, you had the Iranian defense ministry was hit, but it wasn't like the main part of the building. It had things been maybe 50 meters one way or another, it could have been a lot worse. It exposed their vulnerability, but you had these apartment blocks in Tel Aviv that were collapsed, like small parts of Tel Aviv almost look like Gaza. Of course, the whole of Gaza looks like Gaza, unfortunately. So Israel's invincibility, which is important not just to project to its enemies, but to project to its own citizens, this has been greatly damaged. And Jews, especially Jews who have passports, in American passports or European passports, have to ask themselves, do I want to live in Israel if it's a lottery for, getting an Iranian missile coming down on your head? I don't know if I want to live here anymore. And it, with, if these people who have a choice choose not to live in Israel, this is going to be really bad for Israel. I think Israel is a loser in this. And Iran, They still have their nuclear program. I don't know if they're going to put together a bomb or not, but the nuclear program is now effectively no longer under international supervision, and it's not likely to come back under international supervision unless there are certain conditions met, concessions made to Iran. And I think also internationally, you know, the United States, it didn't get dragged into the type of war that you were describing. It still might. It's less likely now than it was a week or so ago. It still could happen. Trump's easily manipulated. But I think if you look geopolitically, that this is, this is another event that is helping shift the power, the power structure in the world away from this unipolar structure that was centered around the United States to a multipolar one, where not only are Russia and China ascendant, but they're as long as they work together, they potentially will be dominant. And Iran has pretty close relations with both those countries. We're hearing now that Iran could have been in a military alliance with Russia, but Iran turned it down because Iran has long-term issues with Russia going back centuries. And so there's some suspicion there. They didn't want to get into apparently the Iranian leadership didn't want to be in a military alliance, but they might have to rethink that. So, you can look at this event in isolation and say, okay, well, Trump, maybe he's going to get away with this one and done. He has his pride intact. He can still portray himself as a tough guy. He got it done. Let's move on to something else. But I think in the long run, this is another event that is destroying America's position in the world. Not as much as losing the Ukraine war is, but it's just more evidence of a deterioration of the American position. And people in the United States are way more aware, or maybe not way, but they are somewhat more aware of Jewish power and the corrosive influence of Israel and Jews on American foreign policy. They're more aware of it now than they were a few weeks ago. And that's really not a good thing for the Jews. So I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, I think you're right. I think long term, this is going to be very, very damaging to the Jewish power structure. It's made them very unpopular. It's made them look politically and militarily impotent. They haven't had the same success with Iran, probably because that would be impossible. The country is very sizable, and there's in excess of 92 million people living there, which, means it's markedly larger than Israel. And this presents them with a number of problems. Now, you also have leading Western politicians, many outside of America, saying, look, Israel, you're pushing this too far. You're becoming hated. There is a large pushback from the public, largely because the public has become more and more non-white over time. And the vast majority of those non-whites have been trained to dislike white people and to think that all whites are colonialist, slave-trading beasts. And then you have Israel, which is carrying out a genocide against quote-unquote brown people as it builds a larger and larger colony for those that people perceive to be white. I mean, when it comes down to it, this isn't going to work well in the long run. Israel's, or so I say not really Israel's, but the long-term plans engaged in by the Jewish power structure in the West aren't really long-term plans. They're all a series of short-term goals, which seem to be not conducive to Israel's long-term success and well-being. And Israel's behavior is also not conducive to its long-term success and well-being. And I believe that right about now, Benjamin Netanyahu is actually about to be go on some kind of trial, is he not, for is it corruption or bribery in Israel?
Yeah, it is some sort of corruption trial.
Sur mon lit à bouffer, ça l'en en buvant, prends mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi, poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois. Un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc. Son igloo, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, moi.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendovite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Whole, not fractionated, not standardized, not adulterated, but pure and nature made for excellent digestion, absorption, utilization, and elimination. Colorado Shilajit is raw, whole, unadulterated, and alive. Pre-processed shilajit, imported from Himalayas, Russia, China, Pakistan, are most often cooked, boiled, smoked, and if it's legit, definitely beneficial, but maybe not truly whole. Only raw shilajit provides the perfect balance of humic and fulvic acids with a complete essential mineral spectrum that is required to effectively energize cells and remove toxic metals, forever chemicals, synthetic hormones, pesticides, herbicides, and more. Pure raw shilajit, legit shilajit. Colorado Shilajit.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org. Watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Give the pass a slam.
Go on some kind of trial, is he not, for is it corruption or bribery in Israel?
Yeah, it is some sort of corruption trial.
Yeah. So he, some of this could literally be Netanyahu's last gasp to hold on to power. You know, I'm taking you into these glorious wars. I'm delivering the greater Israel. You know, please turn a blind eye to my corruption. You know, Trump has already spoken out saying, look, you know, at a time like this, at a time of war, this trial should be moved back. This is not the right time. There's lots more in the mix here than people who come up with simple answers seem to think. There's a lot more going on in Israel in terms of politics than most people understand. But one thing's for sure, Trump does appear to be at least some degree out of depth. Whether he is a puppet and doesn't know what's happening, or whether he knows but has little say in what's happening, we don't know. But one thing is for sure, Trump will not like people to think that of him, and he certainly didn't like it when people suggested that his military strikes on the nuclear bases weren't successful. He's raged about that because he doesn't like to seem like a fool. And I've got to say this, if Israel make him look like a fool, he is the one wild card president that could snap back at them. And we've already seen the beginning of that in his four-letter tirade about Israel not sticking to the peace plan that he laid out on Truth Social.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're getting pretty close to the end of the show, but I think this Trump, I think it's a sad statement about the American political system that somebody as flawed as Donald Trump, as he's easily manipulated, he's got this ego, he's very childish. I mean, you just, if you follow his very, very frequent social media pronouncements, I mean, he just seems childish and not particularly knowledgeable about world affairs. And yet, he's probably the best that the American political system can produce at this point in history, which is a really sad statement, but I think it's an accurate statement. So if you have any final thoughts or otherwise, just let us know what you've got coming up on your own platforms.
I've got a lot of things happening. I've got PWR coming up on Wednesday. I had an excellent interview with a young Russian nationalist on Sunday night. And I've got a series of different shows and productions coming up through the week. Please, please do sub me on Odyssey, Rumble, Gab, and Telegram. It's much appreciated if you do.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory, fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men. Hercules, people are safe when near him. Hercules, only the evil fear him. Softness in his eyes, iron in his thighs, virtue in his heart, fire in every part of the mighty Hercules.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't!
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.